Next up on Express Yourself, I'm joined by Nikki Define sharing about a recent ski adventure with 13 other Aspen locals to the country of Georgia. This sounds so, so cool to me, especially with the history of what's been going on between, you know, the Russia and the Crimea thing. And that's just awesome and crazy to me in all of the right ways. So I'm just going to jump kind of right in with this. And hi, you just walked into the studio. So thanks so much for taking the time and getting in here. I really appreciate it. And I didn't even have a chance to introduce myself earlier off air. Megan, nice to meet you. And I've got two people here in the studio, so I'm guessing only one of you is Nikki.
Yeah, I'm Nikki.
Hi. Hi, Nikki. To meet you. Nice to meet you as well. And then
I'm Andy.
Andy.
Conroe.
There we go. See? Awesome. So tell me about this trip. What led you guys to heading to Georgia, and when did you go?
Well, one of our friends knew someone there that was starting a guide company, and that's kind of how it came about. And just kind of, yeah, a little small seed that was planted. And then her name was C. Marie. And
I know C. Marie. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's the best. So, yeah, I was one of C's old friends. And then, you know, her and Devin kind of got the crew together, Devin Poole. And we ended up going with 14 people, which was a huge group. We were a little concerned at first, but the dynamic really worked out.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, we took off, what was it, in April?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Springtime.
Snow. Yeah, we caught the tail end of winter in Georgia. It was spectacular.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Had any of you guys ever been over to that part of the world before?
I had not, no.
We'd been in high school to like Prague, which isn't, it's Europe, but it's not. Yeah, like nothing like that.
Not as close to Russia as we got in Georgia, which was pretty cool. It was a cool feeling.
Yeah, much further on the eastern side, obviously. Yeah. For people that don't know where Georgia is.
Yeah, kind of draped on the Black Sea there.
Was it, and I want to talk about the skiing. I promise most of this is going to be about the skiing, but I can't help but think it's an interesting time in history to be an American in that part of the world. Did that ever come up when you were there, or was it really just like, no, man, we're all here to just play on the snow?
That's a fair question, and we actually did spend, even though it was a ski trip, when we were there for 14 days, we really spent only 3 solid days on snow.
Right.
Just because of the logistics of getting out there. But to answer your question, I didn't have that sense at all. The people were very welcoming. I think they have so much of their own turmoil within that country that it's not really on their mind.
Right.
You know, for instance, in 2008, as early as 2008, recent as that, they were in full-fledged war with Russia.
No, and, absolutely.
There's recently that Vice show that talked about, you know, how the Georgia, the border there is always creeping into Georgia. And so I feel like, you know, their issues kind of, you know, take most of their
supersede.
Time, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found an interesting sense of they were willing to, and enthusiastic to westernize. So they were interested in what we were doing there, and what our interest was in Georgia, because they were very, enthusiastic to get their word out, what their culture's like, what it is like to be Georgian, because the identity is kind of still forming as they've been kind of just fought over this plot of land since, 3000 BC, basically.
Mm-hmm. But they were very receptive, and I think they definitely see the potential in having tourism there. And so I think that's, it goes on what Andy says, is just they're definitely welcoming, and they see the opportunity with tourism.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So now that you're back, they were excited about sharing their stories with you and kind of getting that out. No pressure or anything, but representing an entire people. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What were you doing there?
We kind of went to go skiing, and we're doing a presentation this Sunday at the Limelight, kind of to show, what we went through. And Devin Poole is going to show a 10-minute slideshow of some of his photography. He's a well-known local photographer, and he does beautiful work. And then we actually just recently partnered up with the Mountain Partnership, because November 11th was International Mountain Day. And so it's just an organization that is an alliance of governments and organizations committed to, working with sustainable mountain development around the globe. And they're in partnership with the United Nations. So it's an interesting moment to just kind of raise awareness about mountain communities. And
We also feel a lot of support from this community. And so we wanted to kind of give back and show a bit of what growing up here and what living here can enable you to do in another part of the world that has a similar, you know, kind of landscape and stuff and a new place to explore. So we wanted to just kind of show people what we were up to around here and see if anybody was interested.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the logistics? You mentioned the logistics of travel and hold that, table that thought. I'm interested right now in the logistics of cultivating some of those partnerships.
The partnerships between climbing or?
With the mountain.
Mountain partnership?
Yeah, mountain partnership.
Well, Katrina DeVore, who came on the trip, her mom, Karina, kind of called me not too long ago and just said that she wanted to get involved just to get the word out about that organization. So that was kind of a last minute grab. And they wanted to do something for International Mountain Day.
Right.
Which was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And so considering we already had the event booked, she asked if you know, we'd be willing to talk about her and partner up with them. And I said, of course, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So basically through our projects and pursuing our passions, the partnerships kind of come, you know, organically through that. And it's just people that are like-minded and interested in the same thing are able to, you know, collaborate.
And there was some other partnerships within, like, we talked to Big Agnes and then Caucus Nomad was C. Marie's friend's company, Luke.
Wow.
So, I mean, we were in partnership with some of those companies in a certain way. So that was a little different with those companies. We kind of pitched beforehand. We're like, we want to do this project.
Yeah.
Obviously, Caucus Nomad, which is Luke's company, kind of initiated it. So, but they gave us a good discount on all the people because we brought so many people and we were kind of, you know, bringing a lot of content to them as well.
I mean, we're discovering that skiing still is a small grassroots thing, and so we kind of have to rely on each other to make, you know, projects like this possible, you know, and feasible.
And I think, too, I mean, even though it's so easy to publish your video or your film online or, you know, publish your photos online, but I think we really want to, you know, going back on that sense of community, we just want to have a face-to-face event where we can, you know, see people's faces and share it that way, the kind of the old fashioned way. Cause
it's almost as if we're trying to say thank you, you know, and, you know, cause Aspen Snowmass allows us all to, you know, perfect our skills at skiing and, you know, just allows a great, you know, home base.
Oh, and I forgot to mention also Aspen Strong, who's going to be another partner that's there,
awesome.
You know, which goes along with the idea of community and promoting, you know, mental wellness.
Definitely.
So we just kind of want to, you know, stimulate the community, like Andy said, you know, give our thanks and gratitude and kind of bring awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so hopefully we can do something like this again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys have mentioned earlier sustainable mountain development. How much was that part of the conversation while you were over there? You know, you said that the people that you encountered were eager to learn more about what you all were about and westernizing and being welcoming to the idea of tourism. How much did that idea of sustainable development come into play?
Well, I mean, I would say a lot of the people on our trip were very aware of it, but we come from the Western world. So Georgia itself seemed to be very polar. It seemed to be people that lived in the rural areas were actually quite sustainable on their own. They don't have that much environmental impact because they don't really have access to do that. So they're really relying on themselves. It seemed to me that the cities were actually growing more so away from that, kind of more towards the industrial side of things. And so it was interesting for us to see that intersection and see where we kind of came into play. And it really what it did was sparked up some conversations within our own group,
mm-hmm.
of how much we could bring back and what we could do to further our quest to be sustainable in our own home valley, you know, and then just kind of see what they did. And, you know,
yeah,
it's hard too to get a glimpse at how sustainable the communities are, especially like within the city. Andy touched on the rural areas, just because, you know, we're there for such a short time. So you're kind of getting a glimpse out the window as we kind of speed by.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely see some of those things that Andy,
I mean, every house has, you know, chickens and things that you need to survive without being able to access
very
a lot of resources.
Based.
Yeah.
And then,
living
you know,
off the land.
Homebrewed alcohol is huge there as well.
Yeah. quite very much a part of the culture.
I was gonna say, no wonder Coloradans got along so well there.
Definitely.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Is there anything in particular that was like an anecdote or some interaction? Because like you said, you know, like it was very glimpse kind of thing. And on the one hand, you want to be broadened personally by these experiences, but at the same time, walk that line of understanding that, okay, you went there one time for how many days? That doesn't make you an expert, right? Mm-hmm. But is there something in particular that you found inspiring that you really wanted to hold on to for when you got back home?
I'm hoping the film will capture the essence of the place a little bit, which is something that's hard to do with words, and it's hard to even do with images. So I'm sure it won't necessarily do that. Maybe through our lens and what we experienced, it will. But we picked the guides' brains a lot and talked about, you know, they really got to tell us about, you know, some of the cultural elements. And then before we went, I think we all really dived into research and kind of understood the history there. For instance, you know, 10,000 years ago, they found winemaking devices from 10,000 years ago in the region. So, you know, the most ancient artifacts of alcohol making in the world.
Yeah.
And another, you know, fun fact, like the Homo erectus, they had found a Homo erectus skull right outside of Tbilisi, the capital, which was like 1.5 million years.
Wow.
So humans have definitely been in the region for, you know, tens of thousands of years. But as far as we're concerned, it's kind of a paradox because it's unexplored as far as skiing peaks.
Right.
Yeah. For me, that's where it comes down to, is it was more of a like a upside down discovery. It was the real reason we went there was to ski where nobody else had skied.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of fell into this really rich culture that was actually quite interesting.
Okay. So now that you've talked about the skiing, tell me about the skiing. I'm just dying to know. I mean, what's the terrain like?
The terrain was really rowdy there. I haven't spent much time in the Alps, but some of the people that have, you know, been to Austria made that comparison. And the valleys are a little bit, they're a lot steeper. They go straight up from the mountains, whereas here they're a little more rolling hills. Mm-hmm. And so, and we also went a little late in the season. So there was a lot of like, for instance, to get to base camp, typically you want to like put your skis on and skin right up, but we had to walk through, you know, the grass and through the forest. And so...
Yeah, one of our members, Jordan White, described it as Little Alaska, Mini Alaska. It was just peaks everywhere and very craggy, rocky, really kind of interesting formations and kind of, you know, peaks that really catch your eye and they're very dramatic, you know.
Yeah.
And like you're kind of looking at them, oh, can you ski that? And then you get a little closer and you go, well, it's possible and it's going to be really scary, and, you know, like all kinds of stuff like that. So it was completely satisfactory and rewarding to get over there and see those mountains and just see how massive they were. It was like,
totally.
I had no idea. It was like mind blowing.
I don't think of Georgia and think, oh, that's on my ski bucket list. Right?
Yeah. It's like, I didn't even really know what to think of when I thought of Georgia. You know, most of my family members were like, why are you going to Atlanta? Why are you going to the state of Georgia to go skiing? And I was like, no, it's a little farther. It's like near Turkey.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Was it, I mean, since you were there kind of later in the season, was there a higher avi risk?
No, that's kind of the good part about going in the spring is as long as the temperatures stay lower and you're getting this, what we call the freeze thaw cycle. So in the day you're getting some melt off and then at night it's dropping below freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's kind of what we're looking for. And that was the base pack that had gone through a couple cycles, but we were lucky and we actually timed it with some fresh snow. So
I mean, anytime that you go in the backcountry, you have the avalanche risk and we have protocols that we follow and, you know, communication lines that are within the group that are kind of established. And so it's always important to be aware of that. And I mean, there was definitely signs of avalanche activity, but when you go in the spring, like Nikki said, it's a lot more predictable. It's a lot more, you can manage risk a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were still moments where we would hear stuff ripping off later in the afternoon from above us. And you could see these, you know, car sized boulders that had, or, you know, of snow that had ripped off the mountains. And then because of the new snow, when we were skiing on one of the peaks, because we were kind of, two groups went up separate peaks and they were kind of across the valley from each other.
Sure.
And so one of the peaks was a little more north facing and there was a little bit more slough concern on that side, whereas the other side was more in the sun. So they were more concerned about it getting too hot for wet slides.
And there was a specific line that Coulter skied the day before, and it was fine. He skied it safely and everything. And then we went up the next day into that same area, and the whole face had actually ripped. So
Oh, wow. It
had gone. So, you know, it's always moving, constantly changing. That's why the mountains are so dynamic and kind of intriguing to me. It's just, and especially in a new place like that, I felt so remote at times. You know, we had driven and walked and gone forever to be where we were at, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, and there's already an element of unknown when you're in a culture or a place that you don't know, and there's like a certain rawness to that experience.
Yeah,
and
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a great time.
I bet Opry was, you know, one for the memory books.
Yeah, especially after we completed our objectives. Yeah, it was definitely a celebration.
I stress, like, alcohol is a huge part of Jordan society. Like, I watched the Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown after we got back, because I figured it was, you know, we were young and rowdy, and they were probably just, you know, giving us a good time. Same thing. They were giving them this alcohol they call cha-cha, which is a lot similar to grappa. They use it from the leftovers from the wine.
It's strong.
Yeah, it's very strong. And they were just giving it to him, like feeding it to you. So
it's just part of the hospitality that is so common there. And I would encourage anyone, if they're interested, to go. It's definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you both so much for joining me. That was great. So Sunday, December 16th at the Limelight Hotel in Aspen, 5:30 p.m., sponsored by, as you mentioned, Nikki Aspen Strong, mental health awareness and nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Am I missing any of the essentials?
Yeah, Mountain Partnership is also going to be part of that.
Perfect.
And the community of Aspen Snowmass.
Yeah, the community of Aspen Snowmass is a big part. That's why we kind of carrying it at the Limelight. And actually, of the group, I think every single group member was in some way either an employee of or an athlete for Aspen Snowmass. So, I mean, we're very connected to that community as well.
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's great.
If you want to see some cool skiing, come check it out.
And who doesn't want that, right?
Exactly.
No, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much and congratulations. I mean, what a huge undertaking and just life-changing in all the right ways, right?
Totally. So, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. All right. I'm going to take a quick musical break. You are listening to Express Yourself on this beautiful Friday afternoon on KD&K. I'm Megan Tackett.
Easy, bro.